All right, welcome back into the Chase and Big Joe Show, the second hour, brought to you by the Omni Nashville Hotel. Chase McCabe right in the middle of his TED Talk out of Rayon City right now. So because of that, Mike Organ, by default, by law, part of my community service outreach from the courts, I got to help Mike and bring him on the show. So Mike Organ's in today. We just had a special visitor, Mike. You're on. Yeah, there you go.
Yes, yes.
Do you know the mascot for Nashville SC's name? Oh, God, this is good. Let's see. Let's play the match game to kind of, okay, the mascot's name is, what do you call, what kind of offense does Josh Heupel run in Knoxville? What's it called?
Tempo.
There we go. Mike got it. Well done.
I was going to say up, but that didn't make much sense. So.
Oh, my goodness. Dr. Curry, we good? All right, let's bring in Scott Ramsey, our good friend, the Scott, welcome in. We have problem. You've got like 19 titles. What's your official title?
Whatever Mike Organ wants to call me.
Oh, but that's, we can't get that on air, Scott.
And speaking of Mike Organ calling you, I do it a lot.
You know, Joe, when Mike calls you, you know it's Mike. I don't know how he got his picture to fill like the whole screen of your phone.
Oh, that is so great.
Close up of his face, and it's like, that's Mike. Mike's calling.
Oh, my God. So you are, you CEO, vice president, chief bottle washer? What are we?
Let's go with the bottle washer.
With all that. All right, so big news. Liberty Mutual, I know it was announced last week, but it's the first time we had a chance to talk to you. This is a great thing, right, for you, for the city, for bowl games, right?
Yeah, it's a really a huge opportunity for us. I think, obviously, you know, corporate sponsorship, you know, is just a mandatory element in today's society, and especially in sports, you know, when you start looking at events and so forth. And we've just been really blessed that we've had a lot of stability with title sponsors where, you know, other events and other bowl games around the country have had a lot of turnover. And this will be our fourth sponsor in 23 years. And that's very unusual, you know. And the other thing that's a little different is this is a Fortune 100 company based in Boston for 110 years that chose to invest in Nashville. And, you know, at a time where – hey, college football and postseason college football is very unsettled right now. So for them to choose Nashville to invest here, you know, I thought was a huge vote of confidence for our city and our event, our organization, and looking forward to getting to really starting a great relationship with them that we hope is long term.
Well, like Mike had said earlier, Scott, I mean, the Liberty Mutual commercials were on all the time. So this is such to use a baseball term, such a home run for you guys. I think it's just wonderful.
No, it is, and I think anytime you get a company that has that kind of presence in the marketplace, it allows you to do some things that, you know, you wouldn't otherwise be able to do. You know, it certainly starts with finances, but more importantly for us, it's sitting down with them and talking strategically is where we want to take the bowl game. I know right now I don't know where it's going to go because nobody in the postseason knows where it's going to go after this year, but I think we're in position to really capitalize on any opportunity that's going to be there. And now we've got a corporate partner with us that that really finances aren't going to be an issue. I don't say that from the standpoint you take that lightly, but if it is a strategy that they want to pursue, that they have the wherewithal to do that.
Scott, where could it go? And you and I talked about this. I mean, and it's so good to have such a strong a corporate sponsor or partner going with you. But, I mean, the Big Ten and the SEC alignments, this is the final year for those, correct? I mean, you're looking for new to redo those deals or maybe playoffs.
Yeah, you know, it's a little frustrating from our, I say our side, but postseason college football right now from the city perspective, and you throw everybody in there, all the bowl games or all the postseason sites, I think the challenging piece right now, Mike, is just you're in a waiting game. The commissioners have to make a decision for 2026 next by December 1st, so a month. Once that's done, then the question is, I mean, there's a lot of rumor out there, and you guys know that hey, they may just extend the 12-team playoff for another year as they continue to evaluate expansion. Well, the challenge for us and every bowl game in every city and every postseason destination is we don't have any contracts beyond this year, a television partner, a conference partner, a stadium lease deal, a title sponsor agreement. Now, we've negotiated some options to extend. Everybody's kind of ahead of that. But when you really just don't have any stability in knowing what the model looks like and who could be playing in your game, which is ultimately your product, it creates a lot of anxiety and uncertainty. Now, on the flip side of that, I like our position better than about anybody in the country. We got a brand new stadium coming. We've got the two power broken conferences that want to be here in the SEC and the Big Ten. ESPN's been our partner for 28 years now, and they really want to maintain a long-term deal with Nashville. So we have the right components to really capitalize on opportunities. Now, what the opportunity is going to be, Mike, to your question, I really don't know right now. I do know that there's an extension of the New Year's Six guys to keep the quarters and the semis for at least another 3 years. Are we going to be looking at three-year increments now and not six-year increments like before? Are we going to look at 1 year next year increment, and then we got to do a 5 year or a 2 year? So we're really in kind of a tough position here to kind of answer that question. But we stand ready once we get a green light to kind of start executing those plans.
Scott, I've covered every Music City Bowl, and one of the things I do a month, maybe 3 to 4 weeks after the bowl game. Well, no. Actually, sooner than that, because that's the economic impact that I'm thinking about. Mm-hmm. The first thing I do is after all the bowls are played, I go through and look at all the attendance. And the Music City Bowl, as far back as I can remember, has had outstanding attendance. And that's what in a time when other bowls have dropped off and are actually dipping year after year. And I know you have two very good conferences right now, the two best conferences mm-hmm. there, and that helps. What are some of the other reasons that your bowl continues to draw such a large crowd?
Well, Mike, I think you got to go back a little bit, probably 20 years, and you really saw travel trends change for bowl games, where when we came in the late 90s, we really got kind of like, the side eye look, because we didn't have a beach, we weren't a destination, and we're in the middle of the country, maybe questionable weather. But I think our destination of Nashville really kind of flipped the script there, along the same time where fans started thinking, you know what, I'd like to be home for Christmas, I'd like to be home for New Year's, but man, I'd love to take a 3 or 4 day trip and find my, and follow my team. And we started kind of fitting that bill. You saw Atlanta be really popular with ACC, SEC. And I think we kind of follow that trend where, hey, we had a lot of fan bases to get here. It's been three great days. And for us, that really was perfect because we didn't have any other tourism that time of year. And so I think we really kind of capitalized on the destination of Nashville. And we were very, I don't know the right word, but I think we were very cognizant that we needed to have conference relationships and selection models the best we could, and those changed over the time, to get teams that could really have fan access to our city, and that's helped. And I think over the years, I just think that's continued to do well. Now, attendance is a challenge, there's no doubt about it, postseason. I mean, I think now with the playoff growing to 12, the expectation of so many teams to be in the playoff, and if you miss the bowl games, have probably lost a little perception, if nothing else. But I think the trip to Nashville's fun. You follow your team. You're going to play a high-profile team on a national broadcast. And I think we've continued to kind of really focus in on that kind of experience for the fans.
Talking to Scott Ramsey, the CEO and president. I found your title, Scott. The CEO and president of the National Sports Council is with us on the show today. All right, so next week, I think the College Football Playoff Committee meets. The initial polls come out. Off of that, what I love, Scott, every year is they start doing bowl projections of all these teams that are coming here. That's got to be a lot of fun because you've got all these great programs being mentioned to come to Nashville, and just seeing your name up there, the Music City Bowl, Liberty Mutual Music City Bowl, and like all these possibilities. To me, that would be so much fun part of the job because of the possibilities that all could be coming here to Nashville.
Well, Joe, you call it fun. I call it anxiety. because I think a couple of things kind of go into that from my seat. one, expectations of about four or five fan bases. Well, I saw it on Mike Organ's article that we're coming. You know? And I go, well, I you could be, but you might not be. You know, so I think expectation to manage is one thing from our side. Sometimes they see the media and they think it's kind of a done deal. Secondly, you know, I do think it starts kind of creating a lot of excitement about who we could host in our city. And I think that's a positive thing. But, you know, it's one of those things now that it's really – it's a challenge from our side because we used to have a pretty good feel, and Mike knew that. Sometimes I couldn't tell him directly, but I would kind of have some either-or kind of scenarios. But now, I mean, let's think about just like last year. That final 12 that was revealed on Sunday, it'll be December 7th, there were people right on the cut line, right? It was South Carolina. It was Alabama. Are they in or are they out? And that totally changed your model. And we still do have some kind of guidelines we have to follow. You can't put rematches together. I can only have in two of the same teams in the Big Ten in a six-year window. We've already had Iowa twice, so I can't have Iowa. So you've got a lot of kind of things you got to dance around, and you really don't know until that Sunday. So to be prepared and then to immediately be ready to kind of respond to fans and teams and the media and the social media kind of outlets has really created a more of a challenging process there in those last couple weeks.
Scott, for 27 years now?
Your 28th year and 27th game, because we had that cancellation in there, yeah. Mike.
So for 26 years, every Sunday at the end of the season after the ACC championship game, I've called you around 11, and we just kind of we chat a little bit about who's out there and that kind of thing, and then you say call me back around 2:30 or 3. We'll see where we are then. How many times has the two representatives changed on Sunday from what you wake up thinking on Sunday morning it's going to be, and how often does that change?
Good one.
Let's see, this is our 28th game. That's 56 teams. I would say 25% of those.
Wow.
Yeah, that's about what I thought. Because Scott is a great guy, and you really believe when he tells you something, and he'll tell you. He'll say, you know, we're still looking at three teams. He might tell me that on Friday before the Sunday or whatever, but it's very fluid right up until decisions are made. And I would think more so now than ever before.
You're right. Over the years, Mike, it was a little – well, I mean, in the first probably 10 years or so, you think of a draft. It was a draft. I mean, we were in the fourth slot, fifth spot, whatever. And so really the charge from my seat during those last couple weeks was trying to be more predictive of who was going to get selected ahead of me and who would be available. And then who is available, who did we think was the right matchups. So that was a different kind of mentality to attack it, because you're trying to – it's just like a draft. Hey, I may want this guy, but if he's gone, who do we take? And, you know, that kind of thing. Now with the pool in the SEC, with kind of a modified pool in the Big Ten and a lot of flexibility, trying to avoid a lot of repeat trips in any city, repeat matchups, and the 12-team playoff now coming into play at the last minute, it's a lot of kind of either-ors. And, you know, it's either or. If, you know, Missouri last year, Missouri could have fit in a couple places. Ole Miss could have fit in a couple places last year in our pool. Ole Miss could have got up. They might not have got up. South Carolina could have fit in, could have not. So I think right now it's one of those ones where you got to kind of get down the last couple weeks. We got to do our work to kind of be prepared for that Sunday, which is usually two or three or four different kind of models. Because you just can't start the work on Sunday at 2:00 and get caught up. So it's a lot more challenging now to guess. And then Mike, I mean, look at the SEC. You got nine teams right now, 6-2-8-0, and they start playing each other. So, you know, if let's say four get into the top 12, tell me which four those are, and I could probably narrow some things down for you. You know, it's stuff like that.
Well, it's just a – I mean, there's a lot going on. But I think it's good. I know it's anxiety, Scott, but I think it's good. Let me ask you one question. And I don't know if you can answer this or not. Is there one team that's never been here that you would love to have come to Nashville?
Well, it's a good question. You know, I'm pausing because I'm kind of going through. I think most people would say Notre Dame if they hadn't had them. We had them in 2014 against LSU.
Right.
You know, we've been back with the Big Ten now for over 6 years, and certainly, you know, you look at the Michigan, Ohio State, Penn State kind of brands that you'd love to host in your city. I think, you know, on the SEC side, we've only had three teams, not counting Oklahoma, Texas being new, but we only had Florida and South Carolina that have not played here.
Wow.
We had Missouri for the first time last year. So, I don't know if I really have that answer, Joe. I think we've been really blessed with a lot of variety and a lot of opportunities for football fans, if you live locally, to see some great college football players, universities, and great matchups.
All right, Scott, I always do this every year, and obviously I'm going to do it this year. You mentioned the SEC teams that are right there together. Vanderbilt is rolling, and Joe said earlier in the show that Vanderbilt could be a playoff team this year, and they very absolutely could. What are the chances of Vanderbilt coming back to the Music City Bowl, or what does that look like?
Well, Mike, you've covered us a long time, so I think we talked through the two times they've been here. I mean, first time with Bobby Johnson was their first bowl in, 40 years, and then James Franklin came in a few years later, and we had great success. I'll answer it like I've always answered it to you about Vanderbilt. I think it starts probably later this month with a call to Candace and really talking it through. Is it something that we want to talk to the conference about? Do your kids really want to take a trip for a certain reason and get out of town? Or, you know, in the case of like when we had the Bobby Johnson year, you know, Bobby felt like it was a chance for him to kind of build up his Nashville base of supporters and to play here in the market a whole month of December, a team that's going to play in the bowl game here. So I really kind of yield to that conversation, and we'll probably take Candace's lead, you know, based on how these next two or three weeks go. Boy, what great success. I'm really happy for her. I'm really happy for Clark and the players. I know they worked hard at it, and they're getting some great success this year, and I hope it continues for them.
Well, us too. Scott, we always love you, man, because you always come on. Great information. We appreciate you, what you've done for the city. I tell people all the time, you are one of the top 10 most underrated people for our city ever because of what you've done and what you brought to the city. So thank you, my man.
Well, thanks, Joe. Just real quick, if you guys didn't see it today, what a great announcement for our city. 2034 USA Special Olympics Games coming to Nashville. Most of it's going to be at Vanderbilt, but all around our city. I know it sounds like a long way off. They only happen every 4 years, so we made that announcement. Congratulations to the state of Tennessee Special Olympics. It's going to be one special event in 9 years, and it'll be one of those most memorable events I think we've ever hosted.
I had no idea. Thank you for bringing that up, because that is a huge deal for a city.
Yeah,
that's fantastic.
Yep. All right, Scott, thank you, brother.
Hey, guys, have a good one. Talk to you later.
Yes, sir. Scott Ramsey, National Sports Council, the CEO and president of the National Sports Council. Man, a lot to unpack there. All right, we'll take another break. We'll come back. Chase McCabe is off today. Mike Organ from the Tennessean sitting in for another 35 minutes and 13. I'm counting down these tickets out of here. Right here on the Chase and Big Joe Show, brought to you by Omni National Hotel, 102.5 The Game. All right, welcome back to the Chase and Big Joe Show here on 102.5 The Game, brought to you by the Omni National Hotel. Chase McCabe off today. Mike Organ in the studio. Mike, you're working on a piece that's coming out in the Tennessean about the new stadium over there. And I haven't been around a lot of stadiums in my life, but this thing looks like it gets – that's what she said. Bigger every single day, right?
This thing.
Sorry for that. Let me dance around this.
This thing has come up faster, much faster than the existing stadium.
Yes.
You remember that? I mean, remember it was just a big hole in the ground for a long time, and then some beams started coming up, and then it took a long time before you could even tell it was going to be a stadium.
Right.
This thing's almost done. Well, did you know? Do you know how many people work on that stadium a day?
I'm going to say more than 10.
1,400.
Really?
7 days a week, 1,400, sometimes more. At least 1,400 people.
Good Lord. On.
There's a joke out at for the Titans media, all your buddies that cover the Titans.
I don't go deal with them.
Yeah.
People.
They joke about there's a road that goes to complex over there that over one of those little fake lakes they've got, a bridge,
yeah,
has been out for like a year and a
half.
That's right. You know, so you got to go wind your way through Metro Park to get to the complex. They joke about that. They're like, yeah, that little bridge, that little 14-foot bridge has been out of work, out of order for 14 months.
Right.
Now that's Metro working on that. And yet they've put up this stadium in 6 months.
That's so huge.
But you put 1,400 people on something.
Right.
Yeah. That's
so what's your story angle?
Well, you know, I started going to, I guess it was in September, I went to a TSU game over at Nissan Stadium, and you couldn't see the other stadium across the way. The press box is on the rivers near the river. The next week I go, and you see some beams coming up. The next week I go, there's a whole floor basically
right.
That's over there, and the lights are coming up. Just how fast it's going, just where we are with it, you know, since they broke ground, and what it looks like. Are they on pace?
I hope they're on pace.
They're definitely on pace.
They can build three at the pace they're going now. That is huge over there.
It absolutely, and it's gonna change the skyline. You know, remember we used to talk about the skyline a lot, and it's gonna change it so much. I noticed that when I was driving into town a couple of days ago. When you come in,
right,
going toward East Nashville, it just, our city is complete. The stadium changed it, but this is going to change it 10 times more.
Well, yeah, it's funny. You and I both grew up here. Dr. Crane grew up here, but he's way younger than us. Chase grew up here. But for the longest time, there were two buildings, the LNC Tower and the Tennessee Tower. What was it called back in the day?
National Life.
Yeah, that was like, oh, yeah, that was nice. And now you can't even see those buildings because they've been swallowed up everything else.
Those two buildings were so much taller. We never knew that we'd get anything as tall as the LNC. And then the National Life was a little bit taller, I think. And that was the way it was forever. You remember the National Life? You always put – they may still put signs up on it.
They don't.
They probably don't because you can't see them.
Yeah, right.
It's been swallowed up by everything else.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
All that again.
Yeah.
I mean, that was
Happy
like
Birthday
a staple.
Joe. You remember Happy Birthday Joe?
That was up every October 25th.
Yeah.
And I would rappel down the side of the building to do that. But it was just – it was – and that's growth. And a lot of that has to do with the Titans and the Predators. And I think our city is far better now because those two entities, and you add Nashville SC, are – and I tell people all the time, like, oh, the Titans suck and the Preds aren't doing well. The impact they do with their foundations around town, with the players and with everything else, is so far-reaching, and they affect thousands of lives every single day. I know we want these teams to win, but, man, they're – charitable approach to everything in our city is wonderful.
Go out to a high school game tomorrow night or Friday night, any high school in town pretty much, because we've only got three left that don't have the new fields, the new turf fields,
right?
And look at those turf fields and the changes they've made. Not only that, they put the turf down, and then that has inspired Metro to redo the stadium or fix up the press box. Every
And that's all Titans
now.
Generated,
that's
right?
That's Titans. That's why I'm bringing it up. Titans and Mark North of the fans, which Mark deserves the credit for initiating it, but the Titans paid a third of that. So it was the Metro, the Titans, and Mark North's foundation, the fans. And that wouldn't have been done without the Titans. Other things nobody knows about. People like Arsente Broom out at Antioch, the coach, that they just in passing one time I was talking to him about something, and he goes, "Yeah, I got to run over to the Titans and see about getting some pants." They let them go in a closet out there.
Love it.
All the Metro coaches are invited to go into a closet out there and get whatever they need anytime.
I love it. And then Clarksville, the F&M Bank Arena, the Nashville Predators, and their effect, their charitable effect. I mean, they've got that arena up there and the outreach they do. I'm telling you, it's remarkable to have them in our city as well. All right, we'll take another break. We'll come back. Mike Organ's here till 2 o'clock. Listen, Chase McCabe at the top of the hour, he's so busy that he had time to do an interview with Nashville Predators player Ryan O'Reilly. That's how multitasking one Chase McCabe is. He'll have Ryan O'Reilly at 2 o'clock. But, Mike, we got you another 24 minutes and 18 seconds. I got to sign off to the judge when you get out of here. This is the Chase and Big Joe Show right here on 102.5 The Game. Why are you turning it down? I'm just kidding. Crank it, man. About this brand new tattoo. Everybody. All right, welcome back to the Chase and Big Joe Show. God, it just puts you in a good mood. We'll have an announcement next week about Key West, which is still something great. Welcome back to the Chase and Big Joe Show, brought to you by the Omni National Hotel. Speaking of the Omni National Hotel, cool event happening tonight that Mike Organ's going to. It's called If This Bar Could Talk, Songs and Stories from Bar Lines. It's free. It's free with some of the top singer-songwriters in town at Bar Lines starting at 5 o'clock. Trinity Wiseman, Carson Beyer, Jerry Flowers, and Trent Fisher, son of Jeff Fisher, is going to be there tonight. I understand he's a very talented dude. You can see all of them tonight for free. If This Bar Could Talk, Omni Nashville at Bar Lines coming to you tonight. You going down there tonight?
I am, and I hope to get on stage for a couple of tunes. Greg Pogue and I are going to join Trent in a couple of tunes.
It'll be like, what's the Hee Haw song? Lord and Pain, Misery on Me. What is, Dr. Green, you know that song? From Hee Haw? What is that called? Help me out, Texter. Somebody, it's the Hee Haw song. They would
oops, there goes another one. It was what they would do at the end. It would be something
like that.
Although they did
pain, pain and misery.
Yeah,
I'm too lazy to Google up right now to do all that.
Yeah, that was a good one though. Yeah,
look at our crack producer, Dr. Crane. If you can find the audio for that, because that is one of the best Hee Haw skits ever. You found it? Look at him getting working down.
It reminds me of the Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz?
Who sang that one?
Oh, Janis Joplin.
Janis Joplin. Here we go. Dr. Kane's going to figure
this
out.
This is good radio right here.
It's great. I don't know what that is. That's somebody will text
him. You said pain and misery, and I just put it in, and that was the first.
But it should be Hee Haw.
Yeah, Hee Haw.
Pain and Misery. But I forget the name. But, I mean, Gloom. Thank you, Hair Metal Henry.
Gloom.
Gloom, Despair, and Agony on Me.
Yep.
Also called Where Are You Tonight?
Where Are You Tonight?
Hair Metal Henry, we love you. Yeah. Gloom, Despair, and Agony on Me. That's the Titan song. If you find it, play it, Dr. Crane. You just take it over away to do all that. Because we are right now in gloom.
Despair and agony.
Yeah. Our texters are, you guys are wonderful. I'm gonna go to you with any medical advice either, because you guys always get it for us. It should be Hee Haw and then all that Dr. Crane to get in there. It's just because people like, you ever watch Hee Haw? Like these younger kids, like, no. I'm like, I mean, how do you
a Saturday night staple,
right?
Even when you got older in your 20s and 30s, before you'd go out,
right,
you'd watch it while you're getting ready to go.
All right, here we go.
That's it.
You said that love was sweet as a tater. You promised me love night and day. So we were wed, but 2 days later, Ronnie Millsap took you far away. Where are you tonight?
Yes.
Why did you leave me here all alone? I searched the world over and thought I found true love. You made another
rent. That's it. There we go. My goodness. That is the Tennessee Titans theme song that goes on right there. And look, I know Gentry and Nick Suss cover the Titans over there and everything, but I mean, it's nobody feels sorry for us because we're in the media. I understand that. But pulling story like you had to do with Vander before those
10
years
of that.
Pulling interesting storylines. I mean, you got to dive down deep to find a creative bone for this.
Yeah, and I had bad basketball too. A very ordinary basketball. No NCAA tournaments during the stretch where I was there. Women's basketball was solid. It was getting better. Jim Foster came in and built a good program, but that was it. Baseball was on hard times. They hadn't figured out what Tim figured out about scholarships. They were still only given whatever it was, the minimum scholarships. So they were very ordinary. So, yeah, it's tough. The only thing is, I'll say this, Joe, there is interest in – that's the difference in Vanderbilt and the Titans. When Vanderbilt got bad, nobody cared. And that was tough for me to try to find something interesting. I say, you either, as an NFL beat writer, you either want your team to be very good or very bad. There is interest in the Titans right now about how bad they are.
Yeah, that's why sports radio. Yeah,
you know, they do something like Trade McCreary on Monday, And people are like, you trade one of your best players? What are you doing? You know, and I still to this day don't understand NFL trades. I mean, so they get a fifth and a sixth for that.
They like swap packages from Temu.
Yeah.
I got this from Temu. I like to have that. All right, here you go. I mean, they got nothing. You traded a second rounder for a fifth. It's just
amazing.
And
they got less out of the Brownlee trade before that.
That's right.
These are good players. You don't have many good players.
That's right.
And they're like, well, you got to take your good players and trade them.
It's like, I'll throw a seventh rounder in. Like, yeah. Okay, we'll take it. It's just, it's chaos and all that. Going back to Vanderbilt for a second, you talk about them going to Texas on Saturday. I don't know if Arch Manning's still in concussion protocol or not. But the fact, Mike, we're talking about a Vanderbilt team that could beat Texas in November. College football playoff. I love this. Was not on my 2025 we're going to talk about list, and here it is, and I love it.
Totally unprecedented. This is well far beyond what James Franklin did. Not even close. Yeah. James Franklin did a good job, and he did what a lot of coaches hadn't done. But this is way beyond that. I mean, they're beating better teams. They've got better players. I read this, and I hope it's true. And we talked about Whit Taylor earlier in the show, and I mentioned it to him. I believe they rotated 12 offensive linemen. Being an old offensive lineman yourself, you can appreciate this. 12 offensive linemen in the South Carolina game. Can you imagine?
Wow.
Either as a quarterback or an offensive lineman playing, what, 3-4 plays a game, a possession, going out, getting a rest, come back fresh. 12 offensive linemen, and Witt had a good line. Witt, I believe that year that Witt was a senior, they were as big as or larger than the Pittsburgh Steelers. That was a big deal. He had a good offensive line. He had 5 good offensive linemen. He didn't have 6.
Right.
And he was, when I told him that, he was just baffled.
Was Will Wolford on that team?
I think he was.
He would play for the years for the Bills. Yeah. 6'6", 300.
And Steve Wade and
Rob Monaco.
Daryl Denson and Rob Monaco. It was a good offensive line.
Big boys. That's some big boys.
They averaged about 285, which was big back then. Now that's kind of average.
Well, I mean, Kurt Page was the first 3,000-yard passer in the SEC.
Yeah,
that's a great trivia question.
A few years later, yep.
Yep.
And Kurt got the very last scholarship.
Did he really?
Yeah, that Vanderbilt had. They weren't going to sign him. They had one last scholarship, and they signed him.
Wow.
Kurt's overseas now, coaching somewhere. Overseas. Yeah. I got in contact with him. He texted me some comments about, is Pavia the greatest quarterback ever at Vanderbilt? I did that story about a month ago.
And?
And they all said he's in the conversation. Witt, I think, said he is. Kurt said he was. Kurt said yes. He goes, nobody's done what he's doing.
No, nobody has.
Nobody has.
I mean, Whit Taylor at 5'8", whatever tall he was. He wasn't tall, but God, he was good.
Oh, he was absolutely, yeah. And there was so many similarities in the two. They both were very similar. They built the offense. The offenses were built around them. He talked about how Watson came to him and said, all right, we're going to build this offense around you, but you got to carry it. Can you handle that? And he was like, you know, for a 21-year-old kid, that's a lot of pressure.
It is.
And he goes, and I did the best I could, but he goes, I was intimidated. He goes, this guy's not intimidated. He welcomes it.
Did anybody mention Jordan Rogers? No.
No, and I tried to get in touch with Jordan Rogers. I texted him 2 or 3 times. Never texted
me. You should have said you were from a salon you had hair gel for. He got back with you. All right, we'll take one more final break. Mike Organ's here. It's at the top of the hour. Chase McCabe will join us. He'll have an interview with Ryan O'Reilly from the Nashville Predators coming up then. Packed show today. We love all your responses. Our question of the day again is, what's the worst weather condition sporting event you've ever been to? The worst weather during a sporting event you've ever been to. You guys' answers are fantastic. We'll read some more of those when we come back. This is the Chase and Big Joe Show, brought to you by the Omni Nashville Hotel, right here on 102.5 The Game. All right, welcome back here to the Chase and Big Joe Show. Thank you, Kenny Chesney. Brought to you by the Omni Nashville Hotel. It's funny, we'll put stuff out there. Okay. Let me read this one. We'll put stuff out on, like, what's the song, Doom and Glare, Gloom and Despair? And this will, like, take over our text line. You guys are beautiful. We thank you. Now, is this legitimate? What you're
I don't
me?
Know. I was scrolling.
All right. This is
see who it's from.
Penn State Recruiting. I don't know if this is a joke or not. It says, James Franklin currently negotiating a contract with Virginia Tech. It's almost done. I don't think Jim
Franklin. That's
I don't
that's
think Jim. James Franklin's ego would allow him to go to Blacksburg.
Yeah.
It's a great job. But that dude wants the spotlight.
Well, it's kind of like him going to Ole Miss. It's kind of hard to see it.
No. I think James Franklin is either Florida or UCLA.
Yeah, yeah.
Because UCLA, remember what conference UCLA is in now? The Big Ten.
Big Ten.
And he can go whip Penn State's ass.
Yep. But if as long as it's not a big game.
Right.
Oh, that's not nice.
No, it is. That guy, I still, when he took the Penn State job, the ultimate troll job, and those, you guys remember this, the Penn State moving van trailer go right through Vanderbilt's campus.
Wow. That's, did they really?
Went right. I don't know if it was before he picked all of his stuff up and headed up north or after. I don't know which one, but he had the 18-wheeler Penn State go right through campus.
White with just like blue lettering on the side.
I don't know, man.
A very plain-looking van.
Oh, my gosh. But, I mean, he's going to land. He won a lot of games at Penn State. He won a lot of games. So somebody's going to grab him, but I think there's a lot of redemption in this. Go to UCLA, build it up. You're in the Hollywood spotlight.
Oh, the bar sits so low at UCLA.
Yeah,
absolutely. The bar was set high at Penn State. And it's amazing what's happened this year. They were, what, top three, top four?
Texas. Ohio State, and I think Penn State were all like 1, 2, 3.
LSU was number four.
They were up there, yep.
And they've been fired.
Gone.
I just don't. I mean, but is Brian Kelly just not like the most unlikable guy? But you know, Scott Ramsey was talking about having Notre Dame here, and Brian Kelly was a coach when he came here and met with him at Dr. Crane's. They practiced at Father Ryan, and I liked him. He was funny. He was kind of sarcastic funny.
Yeah.
But that was just 1 week, so I know that, you know.
It's tired after a while. You know, it's funny, Butch Jones, like, followed him, like, at Central Michigan and into Cincinnati. And then, you know, then Butch went to Tennessee and Brian Kelly went to Notre Dame. But we just – I don't know. Have you seen the SEC documentary on Netflix?
No, I didn't.
The opening scene is with Brian Kelly, and you're like, I'm going to hate this. And Chase and I saw it at SEC Media Days, and it's packed. And we're sitting on – we had the late seats. We're sitting amidst all the SEC network people. I look at Chase, and I'm like, I can't stand Brian Kelly. And everybody around us just laughs. And that was the thing. So he was not – he was so unlikable. LSU fans didn't even like him.
No, they didn't like him. And then even less after he got out on the court that night and said his family.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. Chase and I had this great discussion the other day, and Dr. Graham was part of this. What's a better job? What job would you take, Florida or LSU?
LSU.
1,000%.
There's nothing like an LSU guy. I mean, I know that, you know, a lot of people. You're
going to find the song, swamp. Dr. Crane, every time they bring it up about LSU. Dr. Crane, no, we got him trained good. He's a good man back there. Every time we bring up LSU, we always play. And that's how I say, LSU, look, Florida's great, but something about Baton Rouge. And Cajuns are crazy, and I love them.
Yeah.
It's a perfect mix. So when he finds it, hit it, buddy. He's got it.
When you get down the fiddle and you get down the bow, kick off your shoes. And
Mel McDaniel, you know what it is?
Dance in the kitchen till the morning light. Louisiana Saturday night.
Hey!
Waiting in the front yard, sitting on a log.
I'm telling you, that LSU job is amazing.
It's the closest thing to Alabama that there is. You know, if you were asking Alabama job or Tennessee or Alabama or Florida or any of them, you'd say Alabama because of their tradition. LSU is the closest thing to that.
Oh, my gosh.
It's just.
Have you been to a Saturday night game there?
Yeah, Vanderbilt. I mean.
How'd that go back in the day?
That was Jerry DiNardo playing Alabama. I played Vanderbilt, yeah. Played them here and there. And that was a rout. The game here was very close. And Vanderbilt couldn't get lined up for a two-point conversion.
That's right.
Got two penalties, ended up so far back they couldn't kick an extra point. And
didn't Todd Kinchin run a punt back or did something big play in that game for LSU and got it? But that's what happened. But I'm telling you, Neyland's special on a Saturday night, but LSU's just a tad above them on a Saturday night.
And then
night.
You know you're going to be eating Cajun food, too.
It's the best, right?
I love Cajun
Crazy
food.
Cajuns, man. We love them. Mike, thanks, brother.
I was happy to be here. This was a ton.
By default, you have to come in. So I'll let you know when Chase is off next time. You got to come back in again.
Yeah, let me
know
if the judge lets you off any of that time.
Ain't happening. Mike Organ from the Tennessean. What's your free hangout? What's your socials? People can find you?
@MikeOrganWriter. on X or at the Tennessean.com in the sports section.
There you go. Mike, thank you very much. All right, we'll take a break. Final hour coming up. Up next, Chase McCabe sits down with Ryan O'Reilly from your Nashville Predators. And at 2:45, Celebrity Birthdays, what day is it? Best segment in the world. We appreciate you guys. We love you. Thanks for listening. This is the Chase and Big Joe Show right here on 102.5 The Game.